thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. While you're sitting, something occurred to me this morning when, while we were singing. The God of the universe allowed we humans, the creation, to slay his son. That's pretty big. That's a lot of love. This morning I'm going to read from Psalm 95. It's a Psalm of David. It's on 590 in the church Bibles. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountain. And his also, the sea is his, for he made it. And his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years, I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their own heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Pray with me. Dear Father, we acknowledge that you are the one who made the earth, the mountains, the seas, and all living things. Forgive us when we forget your great providence. This forgetting who you are is the beginning point when we act and think like we're the ruler of our own destiny. You do so many things for us. You are God, our provider, God, our healer, God, our hope for today and hope for eternity. For these and many others, we give you praise. Holy Spirit, do whatever is necessary to keep us from going astray, to keep us from hardening our hearts and becoming loathsome to the Father. Keep your hand on our shoulder whenever we begin to wander. We now ask that you feed us spiritual food by the preaching of your word. Holy Spirit, we ask that you enlighten our pastor. Give Jose words that help us develop a life that chooses to walk in your ways. We pray in Jesus' name.
Imagine that you are the recipient of an invitation from a king. You receive it, and as you look upon the invitation, it's simple in its design, but it's elegant. It has gold trimming around it. There's an aroma that you can smell. There's a seal, a royal seal upon it. So you know that it's an invitation that's been created for you and you alone. And as you crack the seal open and you read this simple invitation, what it says is, come, join me in my court. Celebrate with me. You are my honored guest. And as you take this all in, what you notice is that the invitation itself is written in the penmanship of the king. So he took time to write them, to stuff them, to seal them, because he was thinking of you. And as you come, you're overwhelmed because he's not inviting you as a servant of someone who's going to sit in the back of the room. He has invited you because you are the honored guest, along with all of the other honored guests that are there. And as you're sitting and enjoying the presence of this king, you hear, right, that many others were invited. And for some reason or another, they chose not to respond, not to attend. They made a decision that he was too powerful. They passed judgment, and in doing so, they missed out on the very thing that the king wanted them to enjoy. They hardened their hearts. And this is the tension of Psalm 95. It's an invitation to come and worship God, to enjoy him, to enjoy him because of all that he has done for you. Worship sometimes gets a little bit confusing because we sometimes think worship has to do with music. Sometimes we think worship has to do with a special element of the service. I know there are some people that will come to a Sunday worship service and they would choose not to sit in the musical piece because they have deemed that not to be worship, and they only come for the reading of God's word and the preaching of God's word. Right? And I'm going to say that worship starts long before you make the decision to walk through the doors of a sanctuary. Because as a believer, you're supposed to be living out your faith out in this world. Sometimes worship is joyous, but sometimes worship is in the midst of lament, right? Because you're choosing to look beyond your current circumstance. Worship is going to be when we celebrate the Lord's table in a few minutes. Worship is every time we read God's word. Worship is acknowledging that God has done something for us beyond our imagination, and as a result, we give thanks. You know, as I was preparing for this weekend, right, it's two words come to mind, right? It's awe and wonder. Right? And sometimes we use those together, but they really mean two very different things. Right? Awe usually has to do with how you view yourself as small compared to something that's grander and big. And maybe you went and you visited the Grand Canyon and you stood on the edge of that rim and you were able to experience all that the Grand Canyon had to offer, and also in that moment you felt so small. Or maybe you were standing on the edge of the sand as the ocean was crashing against your feet, and as you looked up and you looked at the vastness of the Atlantic Ocean, and all of a sudden at that moment it's like, man, this is big. Or you see yourself as a human being on planet Earth in light of all the other planets and stars, right? And to know that our God has his eyes upon you, and all of a sudden that in itself just brings awe that he would care about you. But then we have wonder. Right? And when you think of wonder, right, wonder is the thing that ignites imagination. Wonder is the very thing that allows you and me to create and think of new ways of living life, enjoying life. When we wonder about God, sometimes we wonder, right, it's how much did he love us that he would send his only one begotten son to wonder? Right? And as you look at awe and wonder, all of a sudden, all of that is what leads us to worship. To worship. And here's the thing, we are people that worship a lot of things. You don't have to be a believer in Jesus Christ to know that you are a worshiper, right? The thing is that as human beings, right, we were created to worship. And probably the greatest place that you see us behaving in a worshipful way is at any sport event, right? Right? At any sport event, all of a sudden, you will see people behave in ways that you've never seen them behave before, right? They will lose themselves, right, in their enjoyment or lack of, right, depending on how their team is doing, right? They will use words like awesome, amazing, did you see that? And you will hit the replay over and over again just to see that catch. Right? And I'm not here to diminish any of that, but I believe that we should then give God some of that. Right? I said yesterday, my wife and I, every Sunday during football season, we drive by this house, right? And there's and they put up a sign every Sunday, and then by the end of Sunday they take it down, right? And you know that this is a football loving family because they invite their friends and family, and the sign says Sunday Fun Day, right? And because we've been watching it and seeing it, right? It's my wife and I go, We just want to go and hang out with them and see what it's like, right? It's right, but it's that sense that, right, that something is happening in that home every Sunday, just like something is happening in church here every Sunday, and are we doing everything we can to be a light to this community? And are we enjoying all that God has done for us? And I'm not to say or to minimize the struggles that we go through, but to know that there is so much more beyond our physical struggles. Psalm 95 is one of those psalms that they use over and over again at the start of a service, the invocation of a service, because it's about worship. It's about lifting our eyes high above towards the heavens and to acknowledge all that He has done for you and for me. And that's what we are going to look at. And you'll notice halfway through, all of a sudden there's a change of tone because there's a warning. And the warning is, don't behave like the forefathers where God passed judgment over them. Don't do that. Right? Learn from their mistake. Right, let us look at Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with song and praise. Oh, come! Right? It's an invitation. So when you're reading the Psalms, one of the questions you should ask yourself is, well, who's speaking? Right? And we know that this was the hymnals, right? The songs of the ancient Israelites. So this person who is inviting you to come would be the priest of the temple. Right? He's asking the entire congregation to come to sing to the Lord, to make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And in the end, that rock is Jesus Christ. He is the one in which we stand upon. He is the one that provides the salvation that you and I need. He is the reason why we sing, because of that salvation. Let us come into His presence. Right? So let me ask you, right? So as you made your way to the sanctuary this morning, did you come with that enthusiasm? Come! Let us sing, right? Sing to the Lord, Yahweh, the one who keeps His covenant promises. Let us make a joyful noise. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving, being grateful for all that He has done for you and for me. Yes, we have things we need Him to answer, and we want Him to answer. And the question is, above salvation, does He owe us anything more? Right? And that's really what the psalmist wants us to see, that God has given us salvation. You and I have a list of many other things we want God to answer, things that are important to you and for me, right? And here's the thing, God knows that. He knows that. But in light of all of those wants, He has given you what you need. Right? And the question is, as a recipient of what you needed, are you willing to worship Him? And it's not just worship Him today. It's worship Him tomorrow. It's worship Him the next day. It's worshiping a week from now. It's worshiping a month from now. It's worshiping until He calls you home to worship that your life would be a representation of this life God has given you. And as a result, you're just thankful. Thankful. You know that if God did not save my life 34 years ago, right? Here's how I see it, right? I would not know none of you. Right? And let me tell you, I love all of you, right? And your lives have impacted my life, right? In ways I can't even start to tell you. But all of that is a result of what God did 30 plus years ago. And through that, there's been pain, there's been suffering, there's been hurt. In all of it, there's been joy. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depth of the earth, the heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Our Lord is a great God, right? And here's what the psalmist wants to convey to you and to me, right? That for the Israelites, there were these other options. There was Baal, there was Asherah, there was all these other pagan gods, right? And he wanted them to know that our God is above them all, right? And here's what you need to realize, right? If God is the creator, would that God, who's a jealous God, create any other gods? Right? The answer is no. So if you were to worship any other gods, then those are demonic beings that you're worshiping. Right? Let's just be honest. Right? And God is saying, I'm not like them. I'm above all of them. And also, and we get this picture of him being creator, right? He's created the earth, the heights and the mountains. The sea is all his. He's formed the dry land. He is creator, and as creator, he should be worshiped, to enjoy him, right? Imagine this right now, right? If God was to call us home into his presence, what would we first see, right? And I believe our eyes would first see him in all his glory. And just as we see him, we would just see everyone else just worshiping, enjoying him, seeing all that glory. He's creator. Oh, come, right? There's that invitation again. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. So not only is he the creator of the heavens and earth, but now we get a little bit more intimate. He is your Maker, my Maker, right? And all of a sudden, we as the creatures are called to worship our Maker, right? And here's a picture of humble worship, right? Because the psalmist uses repetition in order to get this picture across, right? He says, let us worship. And in the Hebrew, that is to prostrate yourself, right? On the ground. Then he says, bow down. And if that's not low, just kneel, right? So he wants you to get low, right? Because of who he is. Because he's God and he's holy, right? And sometimes we get a little bit squirmish in reference of, well, what are other people going to say or do, right? But he says that we need to kneel as we worship our God, right? We need to get low. And we need to prostrate ourselves and say, Lord, thank you for being my God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord. Right? And all of a sudden, you find out that you're getting old and you can't get back up. But he's God, right? And he is deserving and worthy of all of it, right? And for he is our God, right? There's no one else. And we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hands. And all of a sudden, you get a picture of God himself being our shepherd, being the very one who leads us through the shadow of death, because he knows the way in and he knows the way out. Right? You don't have to worry about who's leading you, because he's leading you. And all of a sudden, when you start to hear titles like shepherd, right, it points you to the great shepherd, Christ himself. Right? In John chapter 10, there's this great little picture, right, of God being our shepherd. And when you put all the verses together, here's what it says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Right? That is what our good shepherd does. Right? And throughout the Gospel of John, you see this picture over and over and over again. Right? That he himself, as the good shepherd, is willing to do what has to be done so that you and I can get home. Right? He conquered sin and death for you and for me, who put our faith in his finished work, right? So that we would get home, right? You're not home yet, right? You're just passing through, right? So many of us want to make this comfortable, right? No, we're sojourners. We are aliens. We are, right? Our zip code is in heaven, right? But we have this great shepherd. And now here's where the psalm changes in its tone, right? And gives us this warning, right? And he's going to start with today, right? And it's a picture of we only have today, right? So not only was the psalmist talking about their today, but the way this today is written in the Hebrew, it's about our today, right? It's something that applies to us today, right? And he says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah and as the day of Massa in the wilderness. Meribah, when you translate that, that means to quarrel. Massa means to testing, right? And if you look up the history of the Israelites, you go to Numbers 13 and 14, and that's as God led them out of Egypt. They are getting ready to enter the promised land. Moses sends 12 spies, and when they come back, right, they give news of, boy, the land was great, it was wonderful. However, right, it's those kings are like giants. They're, you know what, it's, let us stay here, right? And Joshua and Caleb said, no, right? No, this is the land that God has promised, right? And he's going to provide it, right? So they doubted, they questioned, right? And here's the difference, right? It's, they doubted and questioned knowing all that God has done in order to redeem them, right? But if you look at it, right, and you look at Scripture, they doubted him as they're seeing a pillar of fire, right? They were seeing the presence of God in front of them, and they still question, right? They still question. For when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my works, right? They experienced God's presence. They experienced his might. And even though they saw all of that, they didn't receive the invitation. Their heart got hard. And they questioned and they doubted. And if you read that, it's you hear right throughout it, right? It's like, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Did you bring us out here just to die? Right? And then the other place that you can look at is Numbers 20, verses 1 through 13. Right? And this is where they were getting ready to stone Moses because there was no water in the desert. Right, and then God would provide water through the striking of the rock. Right, and over again, you can see God providing. And over again, there's the doubting and the question. But it's not just the doubting and the question, it's the hardening of the heart. Right, it's the not surrendering to the very one who loves them. For 40 years, I loathed that generation. And I said, they are the people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Right? So here's the question you need to ask yourself. Right? I said earlier that the priest of the temple is the one who is inviting the people to come and worship. But who is saying this? They are the people who go astray in their own hearts. Right? From the psalmist's point of view, that would be the Lord God, Yahweh. However, if we go to Hebrews, right? Hebrews 13, verse 7 through chapter 14, we have this extensive, in-depth look at Psalm 95, where it's repeated at least six times, where that verse, today, right? And in that verse, he says that the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote this, right? So the Holy Spirit is the one who communicated in the Old Testament, right, that these people have gone astray in their heart and they have not known my ways, right? So do you know God's ways today? I hope so, right? And here's the thing, and to know God's ways should lead you to worship. Right? It shouldn't lead you anywhere else but worship. to lift his name up on high, to know that he is the one that provides salvation. He is the one, right, where we sing that old hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. He is our rock. And it is that salvation that he promises to give to you and to me, because it is about rest. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And we know, because Scripture tells us, that they died out in that wilderness. But for us today, right, that rest is the salvation that Jesus Christ provides, right? And unless Christ himself returns today, we have to go through this life, through the good, through the bad, through the loss, through the disappointment, through the joyous times, through the celebration, knowing that he's God, that we're here to worship, that we're here to lift his name up on high, because he is a good God, right? It's, yes, sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we are demanding in our prayer. Sometimes we want what we want when we want it. And as a result, we tend to hurt people because we're selfish and self-centered, right? And we excuse ourselves and say, you know what? It's like, I didn't mean it, but meanwhile, you meant it because you're a sinner and you need God to step into your life, right? And every day he provides that for you and for me. They shall not enter my rest. And for you and for me, we have this opportunity to enter into his rest today. Right? So as we come to the end and we prepare our hearts for communion, here are a few takeaways that you can apply to your life, right? Worship the Lord with your whole heart, right? And that means worship him 7 days a week, right? Give thanks to him when you wake up in the morning and you take that first deep breath. Right, and all of a sudden you feel the aches and pains of your body in the morning. Right, that just means that you're alive. Right, you gotta get moving. Right, and it's a constant reminder. Right, that there's something greater, better, awaiting us. Right, and as a result of that, God deserves worship. That is more than just routine. Our lives and our gathering should be filled with passionate praise that springs from the heart overwhelmed by his salvation. As a result of what he has done for you and for me, we should worship. Right? The next one is trust the shepherd who holds all things together. He's the one who's leading and guiding us. He is the one who knows the path. He is the one who has and is willing, right, to lay down his life so that you and I would have life. When life feels unstable, believers can rest in the security that God is both creator and shepherd. He is sovereign over the mountains, the valleys of the earth, and his faithfulness to lead his people through the mountains and the valleys of life. He's going to get you through it. He knows the way, And then lastly, don't harden your hearts when God speaks, right? Don't turn away, but turn towards God, right? It's one of the things that is difficult, right? And it's something that I do every once in a while with my wife, right? It's like when my wife is unhappy with something that I've done. Yes, that happens every once in a while, right? Right? And she's telling me of just her disappointment, right? It's to sit there in that place and to look at her and say, hey, hun, tell me more, right? Let me tell you, that's not the easiest place to be, right? But it is the greatest place of growth, right? Because you're trusting in God, right? And you're trusting that God is the very one who put her in my life, right? To be my helpmate, right? So don't harden your heart when God speaks, right? Every sermon, every scripture reading, every whisper of conviction from the Spirit demands a response. To delay is to risk hardening your hearts. To obey is to enter God's rest, right? So when he speaks, listen, right? Because he's trying to draw you closer to him. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you as we come to this table. I pray that you would draw our hearts closer to you. Lord, may it be all about you and not about us. Thank you that you are a God who invites us to worship, to enjoy you. You are a God who has given everything. And everything that you have given is because of love. And Lord, I pray that as we prepare to partake of this communion table, that you will meet us here and now. We thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.